I don't want to know anything about you.
Listen, Doc.
Quiet.
Doc.
Don't
Doc,
tell me anything. Gotta,
Doc,
quiet.
You gotta help.
Quiet. I'm going to read your thoughts.
Let's see now. You come here from a great distance?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't tell me. You want me to buy a subscription to the Saturday Evening Post?
No.
Not a word. Not a word. Not a word now. Quiet. Donations. You want me to make a donation to the Coast Guard Youth Auxiliary?
Doc, I'm from the future. I came here in a time machine that you invented. Now I need your help to get back to the year 1985.
That was a quick version. We usually come back from 50. Remember? It's like we're going to do the quick version and start it the exact same number that we always started.
Aren't you guys happy we don't start the podcast with "Hi and Welcome" anymore?
Yeah, we don't have to. We're better than that.
I mean, people get the gist of the podcast nowadays. But regardless, I'm going to do it. So I'm going to say "Hi and Welcome, everyone." This is the Unnamed Movie Podcast. I'm Andrew.
I might be Douglas.
And this is Damien welcoming back our fearless leader, Andrew Robinson, from the bowels of hell. I mean, the Toronto International Film Festival.
Actually, no. The question is, how did we not get a second episode of you guys just ruining me for
Douglas
for
is an
hours?
Asshole and does not know what our schedule is. Hey, Douglas, can we record on Saturday? Damien, no. Douglas, why? No response. No, we're not. What, Douglas? Why? No. That's it.
So I'm going to Pantheon forever. That auto-tuned me going anyways, because yes. I'm afraid of that catching on.
Wait, but why would you? We've only done it once. Yeah, exactly. Why would you Pantheon? No, that's not fair.
Don't worry. When I start editing this podcast, that will be the least of your worries. Right. You're lucky my computer was so slow. I had grand plans for the arms I was going to put in.
Before we actually get the podcast started, I want to say one thing. I've gotten confirmation that officially there are at least three people I know who listen to this, because the other night, actually when I came back, they're having the local film festival here in Trinidad, and I went to a screening of Monsieur Lazare, a French Canadian film which was up for best foreign film last year at the Oscars. And when I left the screening, someone stopped me, a random stranger stopped me, and he asked if I was me. He's like, "Are you Andrew Robinson?" I'm like, "Yeah, I mean, he was generally telling me how much a fan he was of the podcast, and I want to just throw a shout out to him and say thank you, sir, because you made my weekend."
Wait,
just for
on.
That moment.
Was he so he likes the podcast?
No, he listens.
He likes
to
the podcast.
No one likes
much.
It. Though.
Okay, so just a quick thing. So then does he likes it when, like, I do things like ask you if he generally liked the podcast or if he genuinely liked the podcast?
Did I just fuck something up in saying this? I'm confused now.
Douglas, we've talked about this many times. Why must you always
do
this?
Generally?
You said generally.
Oh, God, fuck, my brain. My brain is mush right now. Oh.
Yep, that sound you hear is the sound of people turning off this podcast.
Including that guy. Yeah. That guy is done. He's not listening to this episode.
The two
anymore.
People who listen to this podcast, both of them have turned it off.
And you know, you saw how long it took me to respond,
yes.
Right? I was holding it back. I really was.
I saw you,
I tried.
I
you should have seen my face.
Hoping hoping that you would
I
just...
know that you can't see me because my computer doesn't have a webcam. But you should. It was red. I was sweating.
Twitch. His there eye was
twitching. Waiting for the opportune moment.
So sad.
No, I was trying not to. I really was, but it just it blurted out.
All right, guys. So let's get right into it. I'm going to start, and Douglas will be next, and then Andrew is going to talk about Tiff. And me and Douglas are going to step outside while Andrew fillets himself. I have seen a couple of movies. I'll start off with the worst movie I've seen, probably of all time. I saw 50 minutes of Snow White and the Huntsman.
Oh, that looked bad.
Now, I have a couple of problems with this movie. First of all, being I wasn't able to watch more than 50 minutes because it is awful. My key issue.
That was my in-flight movie, by the way.
Oh, wow. And there's no way for you to just jump out the plane? No? Hush. No.
By the way, that was in-flight to and from.
Oh, wow. The movie stars Charlize Theron, which on the hotness meter... it's like a 20 out of 10.
Yeah, she's pretty high up
and
there.
And then that vampire chick from those terrible vampire movies. She's like, if I'm being extremely generous, a 6 out of 10. So on the scale of hotness.
No. She gets a 7.
Fine. I'll give her a 7. So there's a 20 and then there's a 7. Now they would like me to believe that Snow White, which is the vampire girl, is hotter than Charlize Theron. So they have already lost me.
Oh my god, how did I not even catch on to this argument?
No one thought of that. No one put the two of them side by side and go, "Oh guys, we fucked up." I don't know if we can do this. Now, about 50 minutes into the movie, at the point where I stopped, Kristen Stewart was being attacked by a troll. And the troll looked good. CG was pretty good, decent. But then, she defeated this troll
by... did she touch it and then it became like a deer?
No.
That's
Douglas,
what I saw
again
in the trailer.
Guess again. It's something even more stupid than that.
What's that?
Just, what is the dumbest thing you could think of?
Did she kiss it? No.
Douglas, I'd have enjoyed the movie 100 times more. She stared down the troll. She looked at the troll... the troll looked back, and then the troll walked away.
Well, hold on. You know what? I will say this. Mm-hmm. That really plays to her acting strengths.
That is precisely the problem. After that happened, I went, this movie's going to be... there's no way this movie's going to get better from this. I'm 50 minutes in. I'm bored, because the movie's... oh my God, it's boring. And then the first stint of action they had... they had this chick stare at a troll that's about 30 feet tall, and the troll walked away. So I turned it off, and I went to watch something better. The something better that I watch is a British TV show, I'm stealing from Douglas now, called Moon Boy.
It just I want to watch that movie. That has the guy from the IT Crowd, yes. And apparently he wrote it for this other show called Little Crackers. I know he's gotten it into his own show. Why did you steal that from me? I was supposed to be the one to come with the new name. That was going to be next week. Damien, fine. You asshole.
Thank you. Moon Boy is hilarious. The first episode is fine. Douglas, stop.
The screensaver's attacking!
This little boy...
run away!
This little boy has an imaginary friend. And the imaginary friend is self-aware that he is both imaginary and that the boy that he is the imaginary friend of is a complete and total idiot. It is set in the 80s. And it is just like... it is broad comedy, but it is accessible. It is hilarious. The first episodes deal with bullying. And the young boy is being bullied. His father goes over to talk to the bully's father. And it turns out that the bully's father hates his sons. And so they become friends. And they essentially use poker night and fishing or whatever to escape from their families. And so that is the first episodes. And they... draw from a lot of things to make it funny, but it is really funny. I've seen the first two episodes. I think the third episode is out.
Yeah, the third episode is aired already.
The second episode has a very special guest. I don't know. Well, I don't know if he's a guest because he's on the poster, but he was not in the first episode. So I won't ruin it for anybody who hasn't seen it. Just know he's been in a lot of our favorite comedies and instantly recognizable, and he was fun. He sells fish. Hilarious. I've seen a couple more Von Trier movies. I won't get into any long discussions with them because Andrew hates him and Douglas is flaky. But just it's all his movies are essentially the same. They start out kind of okay and then delve directly into some of the most horrifying things you can imagine. I sat down and I watched a movie that I know I have been looking forward to. I don't know about you guys. Sound of My Voice.
Oh, of course I'm looking forward to that, yeah.
So it saw the trailer and the poster for that movie is horrendous. It looks like a horror movie. It's just this girl in a sheet and red letters. And for a second I went, is this the right movie? This doesn't look... This poster is the wrong poster. But I sat down and watched it. Marilyn plays this girl who is supposedly from the future, and there's this couple who is trying to expose her as a fraud. And much like her other movie that we saw, Another Earth, this movie has a really ridiculous premise, but it kind of puts that in the background and deals mostly with the people. So it's not about her being from the future. It's about these people's reaction to her being this cult figurehead. And I don't like this anywhere near as much as Another Earth. The problem with saying that is that might mean you guys will love the movie because you both hated that movie a whole lot. But I still really enjoy this movie and I think everybody should see it. The two movies I've seen from her now have sci-fi elements but really deal with people, and so I enjoy that aspect of it, just having, you know, a little sci-fi in the background and then have the people see how they deal with it and enjoy the movie. It won't be one of my best movies, but I really did enjoy it. And the final thing I'll talk about is not a recent movie. It is, in fact, a pretty old movie. I got my Blu-ray of Enemy of the State. Now, you'll say, Damien, why on earth would you throw away good money on a movie as, some would say bad, bad, Damien, as Enemy of the State?
Always need a movie which has Jack Black as a tech nerd.
Right. Now, I love the movie because of their relationship with actual technology, in that they have zero connection with what is reality. There's a point really early on where, you know, they have that scene where they're like, all right, move the camera and then stop and zoom. They had that and they stopped the camera and then they rotated a still image from a video camera about 90 degrees. And when I saw that, I went,
oh, that was a bag, right?
Right.
Yeah.
This might be the worst thing I've ever seen in a movie. Earl from My Name is Earl is in that movie. In fact, he's not. Yes, he's the guy. He's the guy
Jason
who gets
Lee's
hit
in this movie.
He's the guy that gets hit by the truck.
Oh,
on the
my God. I haven't watched this movie in so long.
With people that we know and love now that we cannot believe was in this movie for you. Now, guys, if you grew up in the 90s, you'll love this movie because it is the nostalgia is just dripping off every frame. If you have never seen this movie, stay very far away. This movie bears no resemblance to anything that makes any sense. or reality. And Will Smith was just really learning to act back then. He wasn't good in this movie, guys. Not really. But watching him run up and down and watching them come up with fake technology was really fun. Because that is what people believe technology would be in the 90s. And how far we've come. So, Douglas, Andrew, you two should watch this movie. Everybody else.
Of course, I love this.
Nothing beats Shutters.
Nothing beats Bad Boys. Look here. Look here. We're going to talk about pivotal 90s movies.
I'm talking about representations of technology in movies.
Oh, alright. Wait. Minority Report.
Minority Report was trying to be futuristic and trying to say this is what it would look like in the and it was ridiculously fun at that. And you can even say, looking at it with stuff like the screen, that we have moved towards that,
Andrew,
in so many ways.
Andrew, we have to apologize to our listenership. There's people screaming at their podcasts, catchers, and screaming at their headphones and computers right now because we have just failed to remember the greatest use of technology in any movie. Swordfish.
I love the virus becomes a cube, and then each cube comes together as a larger cube. It's ridiculous.
Holy shit.
And then the best part is when it's not working and it just blows apart.
Yeah. Yep.
And he goes, I didn't get it to work this time.
Thank you,
Wolverine. That's how I want programs to work when I'm coding them.
Yep.
I
Wolverine creates a box that shatters into green bits.
True that.
19 monitors. Fantastic.
However, Damien, you are finished.
Yes, I am finished.
And it is time for me to bring out my laundry list of movies that I've... Oh, wait. I don't watch anything.
No shit, you don't.
But no, I watched two movies this week. One I want to get over quickly, and that one is Wanderlust. Starring Paul Rudd.
Mm-hmm. Your boy.
My boy. And a lot of other comedians. But
About the girl?
I know, but I don't like hearing her name.
guy from Priority Down is there.
He is. Adam Scott is in that movie. But I wanted to tell a little story. Because, you see, the story of me watching this movie begins one podcast night. When, I think we had finished the podcast.
Do we get to start a fire and like have s'mores? I want s'mores.
Okay, shut up. So we had finished a podcast, mm-hmm. and myself and Damien went outside, and for some reason we decided let's just watch some weird movie, and Wanderlust came up, and we watched about a half an hour. And that movie was amazing. Then Damien had to go to work or something like that. I took him to work and I just never watched the rest of it. I'm here to tell you that I watched the rest of it and I'd please like to see the movie that I saw with Damien.
Right.
Because it's not there. Even the bits that I loved when I watched it with Damien, I saw it again and it was
I remember telling you
bad.
That the rest of the movie wasn't as strong. It was still fun.
No, but that's the thing though. I didn't even have fun.
No, that is because you watched it wrong, Douglas. You didn't watch it in the sweet caress of Amzo.
That's probably
you thought
right.
that there was a good, solid comedy there. But what we were laughing at was some of the ridiculousness of the movie. Right? And we enjoyed that. But then you went back with... And the thing was, we had no expectation going into
true.
That movie.
This is true.
Zero. So anything that they did funny, we went, it's pretty funny. You saw the first half an hour and went, this is going to be strong. And you were disappointed. That is your fault.
Damn. So what you're saying is if we had actually watched all of it, I would have loved this movie.
Douglas would have enjoyed the hell out of this movie.
My bad.
It's
my
like
bad.
How we saw The Fairy. If you sit down and watch The Fairy by yourself, like Andrew did, you won't like the movie, like Andrew did. But we didn't do that, Douglas. At no point did you do that.
Actually, no. I didn't watch all of it by myself, but I watched like a good 45 minutes by myself.
But then you already knew what
that's
you
true.
Were
I knew what for. I was getting into. But then I would also like to say that kind of thing is not quite what you generally like. It's not quite what Andrew generally likes, but I generally like that kind of foolishness. And you know this.
The plastic bag jellyfish.
Plastic Sweet bag Jesus. Jellyfish. I cannot wait to watch the iceberg or Roomba. Oh my goodness. I don't know why I haven't watched it yet. Anyway. Oh wait, I really shouldn't say that word. The next movie that I saw is... So, I messed up. And to Damien, I apologize. I didn't do my homework last time. My homework was to watch as many Lars von Trier movies as you can. And I failed.
Yes, you did.
This week, however, I tried to make it up. I don't think I passed. I definitely did not get like a 60%. I didn't get a C. I didn't get a D.
You got a 40.
I may have gotten... I think I've gotten an F+. Because though I probably still failed, at least I tried. Okay,
I think an F+ is still called an F+.
and there's an E somewhere in there for effort. Okay, but I watched not actually this week, but the week before, right after last podcast, because I felt bad. I watched Dogville, and that's one fucked up movie.
Yes, it is. It truly, truly is.
And for a lot, it's hard to kind of just get a lid on things, or to kind of, you know, get a grip on things, you know, in terms of what is happening in the movie.
Douglas, there's no set.
As Damien described last podcast, there is zero set. It is literally people on a soundstage with chalk outlining everything. And labels, just in case you didn't know what these things
Elm
were.
Elm Street.
All right.
The woods. The tunnel.
What? So, what I realized is, and what Damien didn't say, but he kind of alluded to it, and I'm sure even if he didn't think it was in the back of his mind, is that this was very much... This wasn't as much a movie as it was the filming of a play. That's kind of really what this was. And though it takes a long time, and this movie definitely gives you that long time to take, it takes a long time for you to kind of, I don't want to say get into the flow, but become immersed in the situation, and in the intangible nature of this movie, you eventually do at some point.
Like, you kind of forget that he's just filming these people on a stage. Even, yeah. Like, there's a point where he pulls back, like, something is happening to what's her name?
Nicole Kidman.
Sarsgaard is doing something to Nicole Kidman. And they pull the camera back.
Yeah.
As if to...
My goodness.
To show, they're like, yeah, we're doing this.
And nobody
and you still,
else...
Right, you still... You're still so immersed. You're so, alright, sure.
But as you said, and as you mentioned that point, it was kind of off-putting at times when something horrid would be happening in somebody's so-called home, and as you say, he'd pull back, and this horrid act would be in plain sight of everyone. But nobody saw it. Why? Because there were make-believe walls in between them. After a while, you got kind of used to the weirdness, though, and you kind of embrace it.
The narration helps.
Oh, yes, it does. and classic Lars von Trier, this movie goes down a rabbit hole. And it gets darker and darker. And as you get to a certain point, and you're like, okay, this thing cannot get worse. Or this situation just cannot get any worse. It does. And every time you get into that comfort zone of, okay, at least this is the worst. This is it. No more. something comes and slaps you in the face again. And he, I think, well, I don't think I've seen enough movies of his to be able to really say this with any sort of authority, but based on what I have seen, it seems that that is a common thread.
Damien is nodding his head furiously.
And for some reason, I like that.
Yeah, I mentioned it last time. He's clearly fucked in the head.
Yeah, he is. This movie, I know I haven't said much, but really, we spoke about it last week. This movie is about a lady who is, you know, on hard times, gets embraced or saved in some sense by a town, a very small town. And that relationship with the town deteriorates poorly. She becomes essentially a slave. And
could it have there's deteriorated any other way, Douglas?
I don't know.
Poorly, you sure?
Fuck you. I reverse back all the time, okay?
Okay. That's so what you get for attacking Andrew.
I know, yeah. but what was I saying? So it deteriorates, and then, yeah. I can't even remember what I was going to say.
And bad things happen.
Yeah, bad things happen.
And when you think there's a light, there's no
there's
light.
There's no light. Not at all. And she tries, you know, no matter how she tries, all her attempts at escape are futile.
Yeah.
This
and the movie dares you to like Paul Bettany.
It really does. It really does. Honestly, I mean, I think to me, right, he is the worst character in this movie.
He's by far the worst.
And all of the people in this movie do terrible things. He does nothing terrible actively, right? That is the main difference between him and the rest of the town. People will slap her or whatever, right? They will do bad things to her. But Paul Bettany allows it to happen. And that, I think, is the tragedy of this film. Somehow, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how Trier did that. But he made this mild-mannered man.
This passive guy into, like,
the devil.
Most horrible person.
And the truth is, he does so without ever making him any less mild,
right?
Any less,
right? He at no point does he become like outwardly evil. You know, like he's not nefarious. You don't see him planning and scheming and wanting these horrendous things to happen. And then the movie ends, and you go, "I think he's the worst person I've seen."
But okay.
But I think, Douglas, I really do think that we're in, and the internet bears this out, we're in a select group of people that actually enjoys these movies. Because when the movie ended, I didn't feel, you know, like depressed and, oh my God, and this is the worst thing I've ever seen, and all he does is revel in people's pain. No, I didn't feel any of that. I just went, this movie's fucked.
Yeah.
I need to watch this again.
Actually, can I tell you, I was kind of hype because she got her revenge on somebody. I was actually very happy for that.
In a way, it's a revenge movie, but do not go into this movie expecting a revenge movie.
You will be sorely disappointed if you do.
Oh my God. This is the worst of all the revenge movies.
Okay, alright, so you know that I have, especially when it comes to music, I have a very deep-seated relationship with the music that I love, right? Is it crazy that at the end, alright, maybe it was a little bit dark. Alright, stop that. It was ridiculously dark.
Yeah,
and any normal person would have been bawling and trying to scratch their eyes out at that point. But is it crazy that at the very end, when that David Bowie song came on, I thought to myself, oh, it's David Bowie, I love this song.
I think he did that on purpose.
Hold on, Douglas.
Yeah?
This is Dogville?
Yes, Dogville.
And it ends with a David Bowie song.
It does.
I guess I have to finally watch it then. I've been avoiding it, but
honestly, Andrew, it's really long. It's probably 3 hours long. Is it three hours long?
2 hours and 15 minutes.
Three hours?
Three hours long. So, if you're going to watch it, you have to be prepared.
Yes. Get ready.
But you do promise me a David Bowie song at the end.
I promise that to you.
And a whole lot else.
And some, honestly, this movie, despite being, I don't think it was on a shoestring budget, but despite being designed to look so, is the most beautiful film I have ever seen. Especially when he does the shots from above. Mm-hmm. Those are spectacular.
I like when he's like, he lights up the sound stage.
Yes.
He's like,
yes.
Oh, it's daylight now. Sure. And the light is just pouring in, like, he did this on purpose, didn't he? He knew this was going to happen. The movie is, it is really strange, but I love it.
Yeah, and you've got a nice little surprise ensemble.
Yes. The cast is real. I mean, yes. In all his movies, even when I look at them and I go, like when I look at the cast list and I go, why are these people, I mean, Bjork and what's her face that was in Melancholia.
Oh, yeah.
When I saw those names, just immediately.
Who is it? Who's in Nymphomaniac? Shia LaBeouf. That's right, who it is that I'm worried about. But really and truly, we probably shouldn't be.
You can't act to save a goddamn life. Dancer in the Dark is phenomenal. All right, so Andrew is going to tell us what he's seen, and me and you are going to record the second episode.
Actually, no, here's how we're going to do this, Andrew. Here's how we're going to do this, Andrew. Just don't say a word, right? So, Andrew, what have you seen this week? Okay, that's good enough. Now, Andrew, you can record that later.
Yeah, by yourself.
Because we don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
And let's talk about trailers.
That totally didn't hurt my feelings, I promise. Honestly, I wasn't really going to talk about TIFF that much, but what do you guys are there any questions you have for me of films that I saw at TIFF that you want to know about, though?
Not really the films, because you've written up all of everything that you've seen, but I just want
there are a good amount that I didn't write up, but
I just want to I have two questions. The first is movie related. You said you walked out of about three movies. What were those three?
Walked out of two. One was because the movie was downright atrocious.
And the name of this movie
To be honest, it's the first film that I have ever walked out of.
Mm-hmm.
The name of it is In Another Country.
Mm-hmm.
It's a, I believe, South Korean film directed by Sang Soo Hong. And I only sat through the first, 45 minutes. It's about this lady who goes, a foreigner who goes on vacation in, I think it's Vietnam or somewhere. Uh-huh. And she's meeting up with this guy. And I only got to the second bit, but apparently it happens with the same actors, all playing different roles, but each time the lady is falling in love with the guy three times in the film. And it's really weird. I just couldn't have it at that point. And the other film I walked out of was the, what's it called? I have it, The Last Supper, which mm-hmm. is this big, epic, Chinese, historic film. It's 2.5 hours, and at around an hour and a half point, it was just too slow for me. It looked really good, and I probably, when I see it another time, I'll watch it, but I just couldn't take it at the moment. Especially given that was my last day, and I was leading up towards going to see The Master and To The Wonder. I'm like, those two films I have to get through. I will not shuffle through this today.
I see.
Okay. And the second question is, how was it? Like, can you give us audio description of what it was like being there, being around so many of your peers, nerds, movie nerds, and you know, was it as exciting as you pretended it was through Twitter every goddamn day? Google is reminding me that someone has said something regarding Andrew Robinson on Twitter, and I regret having that, giving them that permission.
Hold on, you put up Google alerts on my name?
No, whenever you tweet anything that says @Damien, Twitter sends me a Gmail email, and so it pops up, and like, Andrew Robinson has mentioned you on Twitter. Why?
I only did that like twice for the whole festival.
But because I gave it that permission, what it does, it's every couple of days it sends me this email, what's happening on Twitter. I only have three friends, one of which tweets constantly for the last 2 weeks. So guess whose name I saw over and over and over. But all right, give me an audio description. What was it like? Was it snowing?
All right, so first of all, let's get past the whole our general film experiences versus being in an experience like that. We spend so much time going like, why aren't there other people like us? Just imagine being in an environment where you can make a reference to a really esoteric Kubrick moment. And the person in line beside you gets it, and it immediately sparks a conversation.
Why are you talking to people in line? That's my first question. What the hell kind of hippie nonsense?
No, you're not. You're talking to someone beside you who you know, and then magically the next person beside you hears this Kubrick joke reference, and boom, you have a new friend. Because you're like, you understand movies, and I love you for that. And it's a great experience. That is like one of the top moments for me, one of my favorite little bits. It was really fun.
Is it like the Olympics, where there's a movie watchers village with like a billion condoms? It's just one giant orgy, movie people banging other movie people.
Well, I mean, the people did give out condoms in the press bag for Tiff, which I found hilarious.
Right, like movie
and when I walked out of the sessions, there was a bunch of women just handing out condoms. Like, here are more condoms. I'm like, okay, a movie about sex. Here's condoms. I'm like, that's hilarious. But it was just a great experience, and more than that, it was being in that town in the way it's set up, because the films are all spread around like 8 different cinemas. And 6 of them are within walking distance of each other. Like, at most, if you're walking slowly, it'll take you half an hour to go from A to B, if you're going the extent. And just being in an area where there's always something in between. You put out on Twitter, hey, I'm going to this film. Someone will always be there with you because you have that connection with people. It's a great experience, especially if you go as like one of... if you're like us who are on the internet and are making these connections with people. I know Damien isn't, he has 3 friends on Twitter, but he doesn't care. And it's fun. I loved it. I kind of fear the press experience because I knew a lot of people who went there as full-blown press, and I literally didn't get to see them for around the first 6 days because they were in blocks of 7 screenings for the day, and in between was interviews with people. But regardless, I can't think of a better vacation I could have planned for myself.
So listen, somehow the 3 of us need to get like press passes for next year, and we need to figure out how to set up like a mobile podcast so we just
do it on the phone. That's right. Do you
have to be pressed in order to go there?
What I mean is, for example, we go to the Looper movie and then we all line up to ask what's his name, JGL questions, which apparently Andrew got to ask him questions, but we do it like as a thump thing.
Actually, I didn't really get what happened with JGL was that I had gotten a hookup with one of my editors over at Screen Invasion to do an interview with Nathan Johnson, the composer for Lupo. And like, pretty much when my interview was over, like, JGL just kind of walked past and he sat down for around a few minutes and we talked. That wasn't like officially part of the interview, but he was still there and I was talking to him, and it was kind of cool.
Oh, okay. But yeah, we need to have like Tump on Tiff. I'm just saying, or Tump at Tiff.
Yeah, like, we need to have Tiff. the whole Tump to Tiff experience. It's kind of awesome.
Tump in Tiff.
Mm-hmm. But on a side note, I'm just going to throw out my 2 least favorite movies that I saw. Flat out hated The We and the I, the new Michel Gondry film.
Yes! Yes, the war shall start. Hold
on, is that a documentary?
It's not a documentary. It's a made up story about mm-hmm. children on a bus going home from school. It's stupid. The other movie which I didn't like is the Monty Python fake documentary. Elias' autobiography, okay. The untrue story of Monty Python's Graham Chapman. Quick. And the worst part is I got this really hype moment walking into the theater because when I was walking in, they handed everyone these sing-along sheets where they had out the lyrics for Sit on My Face. I don't know if you know that song, Douglas. And it, like, immediately I'm like, oh, it's going to be like this awesome communal moment in the theater when it comes on the screen. But no, like at the end of the film when it was done, they're like, okay, let's all sing this song together. And Terry Jones was there and they were singing it. And I'm like, eh, this doesn't feel that great. And the movie's kind of boring. Yeah. But the number one movie that I didn't know about going in, which you guys need to see, and I put it out on Twitter anyways, is Peter, the new film from Kim Ki-duk. I hope I get his name right. The guy who did the spring, summer, winter, fall movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a great film. I loved it. And also Every Day, the new Michael Winterbottom film, one of my favorite from the festival that I didn't know going in.
All right. So before we move on, I just have one question to ask. So your least favorite movies were The We and the I and what?
Elias' autobiography, the Graham Chapman right. documentary.
Elias' autobiography. So, you walked out of two movies.
And they were not your
But they
worst
were not your least...
Well, I don't count it.
But
I don't...
least favorite movies.
Can you imagine what? That? He sat down and watched two movies worse than the movies he walked out of.
Man.
You know what? Fuck this movie,
I
walked out.
No, like...
And then there was a worse movie. And you know what? I'm not going to allow you to win, movie. You're not winning this. I'm staying put.
The difference, Damien, is those movies I walked out of came later in the festival. The ones that I'm talking about were early, so I was like, I am going to survive. By the time I got to the In Another Country movie, I'm like, fuck this shit, I'm done. I've been defeated. It's kind of like, I also saw another documentary called 979, which was about...
Sounds like a gang sign.
I'm trying to make sure I get the year right. I'm guessing it's the Helsinki Olympics, mm-hmm. with the first year that people broke the 10-second mark in the 100 meters.
Yeah.
I'm sure Damien can confirm the year for me. And basically, the year when Ben Johnson was caught doping, and basically every runner in that race was caught on drugs.
Helsinki was like...
And
just relax, Douglas. Just let him finish.
Okay, sorry, Andrew, keep going.
Yeah. And when the movie wasn't bad, I'm not saying that, but when it was over, the director was there and people were asking questions, and I was just sitting there waiting for someone to bring up a Usain Bolt question, being like, okay, so this movie is basically saying that it's almost impossible to break 10 seconds, and anyone who's doing it is pretty much on drugs. A man ran 9.63. Isn't he on drugs? And I was just waiting, and they did it, and the director had like such a great answer, because he's like, I'm pulling out the British political answer. You might say that, but I wouldn't dare do it right now. And I'm like, yes, thank you.
Okay. So Andrew enjoyed himself. We certainly didn't. We were supposed to do a second podcast. That didn't happen. But again, it's all our fault. Me and Douglas made
all your
four
fault.
Decisions. And we're paying for those four decisions. So instead of having Andrew continue to fillet himself, let's just move on to trailers.
Wait, hold on. There are two non-TIFF movies I want to talk about that I've seen since TIFF. Just one moment.
Didn't you see enough movies?
No, I didn't. I saw more. As I mentioned earlier, I saw Monsieur Lazare at a local festival here. And it's a really interesting film. It's about a class of children. They're like 11 years old. And at the beginning, their teacher commits suicide. And so Monsieur Lazare comes in who is an expatriate from Algiers, to come and teach their class in Montreal. And it's about basically everyone dealing with their own tragedies and how these children mirror the adults around them. And it's a really interesting film. It's really good. And also, I watched last night Magic Mike. And that movie is fantastic. Within a breath, I now have gained an appreciation for the Step Up franchise, which I've never watched, because the dancing in that movie is pretty fantastic. I've gotten an appreciation for why... Well, I shouldn't really say it, because I already had, but I still, it kind of became very evident watching this movie, the way I would laugh at it. An appreciation for why women laugh at porn. Because some of the things that these guys do will just make me laugh, and I'm like, I can see why it kind of makes it more obvious.
Andrew,
and also,
a quick question. Who directed Magic Mike again?
Steven Soderbergh.
Oh, okay. Alright.
And
no bias,
also,
yeah, at all.
At all.
And also, a deep seated love for the fact that this movie ends perfectly. You guys need to watch this movie. It is like the best version of Purple Rain for dancing, and I love it so much, because
don't
when he eventually gets
throwing Prince's names on rubbish,
when
he has no respect at all. What? How dare you?
I mean, when they get to that final dance scene where Channing Tatum is going like, I'm going to do something fresh, and he goes out there, it's just fantastic. I love it. I'm with the movie. It's gorgeously shot. I love it. I love this movie.
in a shocking turn of events.
It's so much better than Haywire.
That's saying something, because I'm pretty sure you said just about the same thing for Haywire.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. It was going to stab and kill both of us for saying that it was not an effective revenge movie. We almost... Is that a good thing you wasn't here? Because I don't know what we'd have done. We'd have to run out of this podcast.
I would have called Gina Carano on my phone and told her to come over and snap both your necks.
Saying bad things about Soderbergh. How dare you? Andrew, Soderbergh won't be doing it that many more movies in the future, so he says. But we can just assume that you like Soderbergh movies. Like, you don't have to do this. You know? You don't have to go and try to convince anybody. Because nothing you say will sway anybody in one way. The only thing you could have said to sway me not to watch this movie is if you came on and went, this might be the biggest piece of shit I've ever seen, and I've gone, no, what? I'd have jumped on a plane and gone, watch this movie then. But you coming up, look, you love the girlfriend experience, and that movie is a flaming pile of horseshit.
don't you say bad things about Soderbergh, though.
So,
tell me, crystal eye, and you've got the faith that I could bring paradise.
I'll forgive and forget before I'm paralyzed. Do I have to keep up the pace?
Andrew Robinson wanted to us a couple of trailers. I don't know why he keeps doing this. We don't have to have a trailer section, especially when all the trailers are god-awful. But Andrew is the captain of the ship, this rickety, leaky ship. So
I'm
Andrew,
back.
What trailers have you forced us to watch this week?
So the first trailer I wanted to talk about is this new horror film by the name of Sinister, which is directed by Scott Derrickson and written by C. Robert Cargill, better known on the interwebs as Massaworm, who used to write for Any Cool News and Spill.com.
Hey,
Douglas, what did you think of this trailer?
I didn't know that. Written by Massoworm? That's kind of cool. And it had, who was it? Some big actor was the lead.
Ethan Hawke.
I love Ethan Hawke. I have already seen Ethan Hawke in a horror movie, though. Was that like Day of Night or something like that? What was it called?
The shitty vampire movie. Let's not talk about that.
No.
Daybreakers.
Thank you.
Day of Night.
Oh, God. I have to talk about that shitty horror movie, Andrew, because you see, in my line of business, I'm an analyst. And while we know that you cannot predict the future, there's always a saying that says that while you cannot predict the future, the history gives you an indication. So, I've seen him in one horror movie, and it is horrible. That indicates to me that this movie will probably be horrible. Honestly, this trailer looks bad, Andrew. This trailer is just him hanging around watching scary movies. And then I would assume becomes embroiled in an actual scary movie.
Douglas, what? How did you glean this from this trailer?
I don't know. I'm cool like that. Okay. But no, I don't want to watch this movie, Andrew. I don't. I don't think that the trailer could be a bad trailer for a good movie. I don't think that the trailer is enjoyable in any way. It's just, you know what it is? It's one of those trailers for the masses. It's one of those trailers that recognizes that it has no good source material to pull on, and so adds a lot of CG and titles to make it look nice. Because honestly, yeah, it was kind of pretty. One of the
scariest movies I've ever seen.
Yeah,
the Slash Film Cast.
The trailer was pretty from a grungy and dirty and I'm supposed to be a horror movie looking kind of way. But really and truly, it was not good.
Scared my balls off on the movie podcast.
I hope somebody takes that drop code. Scared my balls off. Listen,
I'm going to tweet that directly to Massoworm. Scared my balls off.
No, actually, I wasn't even going to say it about this. I was going to say that, listen, if you have any movie, doesn't even have to be a horror movie. Right. Any movie whatsoever, and you want to use this quote, you can use it. Right. It scared my balls off.
Perfect.
Damien. Does this trailer give you hope for horror films?
Andrew Robinson, when good horror movies come out, the cast of the Only Movie podcast don't watch it. I'll give you some examples. Cabin in the Woods, Trick or Treat. People had to essentially force us to watch the movie. Like, they had to be vetted a billion times. And then even when people went, these are good horror movies because they have no resemblance to horror movies, we still look at them and go, no. I still don't trust it. Rare Exports might be the only, and I'm doing air quotes now, horror movie that we all saw and went, I'm watching that.
Actually, no, I do believe Andrew was against it.
Which is fair, because we don't watch horror movies, because they're always terrible. Every year they put out about a billion horror movies. And I think out of all the horror movies, there might be two good ones. I remember not too long ago, Andrew talked about Paranormal Activities and said the movie was legit scary. Now, I sat down and watched Paranormal Activities not too long ago, and I've never brought it up on the podcast, because to hear me say a horror movie is terrible is like hearing Andrew say a Soderbergh movie is the best thing he's ever said in his life. It is not surprising, and everybody assumed that. This trailer looks like every other horror movie, and that is to say, really bad. I'm going to assume that the movie that accompanies this trailer is also going to be absolutely horrendous. The only thing that will get me to watch a horror movie is when there's categoric evidence that says it is not really a horror movie. Tucker and Dale versus Evil, Trick or Treat, Cabin in the Woods. Only that.
Did you like Cabin in the Woods? Have you seen that?
I haven't seen all of it, but the 20 or so minutes that I saw were fantastic. I'm definitely going to talk about it next week.
Okay.
I don't know why Andrew keeps asking us to review trailers for horror movies. Because we always say the same thing. We always go, this looks like a shitty horror movie. I'm going to assume that the movies... And we never watch them. It's not like we give them this terrible review. And then we come back on the podcast and we go, well, I saw this horror movie. And it was, we don't... Douglas doesn't watch them. I certainly don't watch them. And Andrew watches 2 out of 100 that comes out. And most of the time comes back with, yeah, this movie's terrible. Once in a while, he'll get it wrong and be tricked that one of the movies are good, but they aren't. None of them are good. They're all bad movies. So, Andrew, you force us to watch this. I know the reason you want us to watch this is because the Cargill guy wrote it, and you want to berate him on the internet. Is there anything outside of that that you enjoyed about this trailer?
I like this trailer, honestly. I thought this trailer was... Really, because the thing for Andrew, me with horror movies.
Hold on, Andrew. I just want you to hear this. That's me throwing something at my screen and hoping that it goes through
and hits the you internet in the face.
And hits you in the face.
I hope it breaks your screen. I hope it's your phone that you threw at it and both screens break.
If there was a promise that it would hurt you as well, I'm pretty sure I'd sacrifice the screen.
I pretend to be hurt. Does that help?
No, it really doesn't.
Tell me when it hits and I'll say, oh.
You're an idiot.
No, but this trailer, I actually like this trailer a lot because, first of all, I like that there's no dialogue in it. It's just the creepy horror score and all of the things going. Because the one thing about horror movies, which tends to turn me off of them, is that they tend to try way too hard to scare me. As opposed to just put in this very unnerving notion. And this trailer actually does that for me. Especially that final shot in the trailer where it switches to the family having like picnic and then boom, they're being hung by this tree and then the branch starts to fall down slowly and they go up. It kind of did it for me. I totally want to watch this movie. And honestly, I've heard nothing but good reviews for this movie so far as it's been going around. I can't wait.
The one thing that I have to say, though, is that you have to ask yourself, who are you hearing these reviews from? Are they horror movie crazy people?
Yeah, movie moxie.
Or
well, more than likely.
Or are they like genuine... I don't want to say genuine. That's rational people. That's mean. No. Are they people that aren't like associated with horror brands? Like for instance, you know, like like Eric Snyder, I think, is a big horror guru, and I saw his drop quote on there. But like, is there anybody that you have heard from that is just, you know, may give a horror movie a good rating, but is not biased? There is no bias there.
I can't say definitively because I don't remember all of the people who I've seen good reviews come from, but I'm pretty sure there is. But yeah, you could be right in that vein.
Because I've learned, right, from bad experiences, that listening to those folks, while I don't want to put down their opinion, I mean, if you're into horror, then that's one thing. But if you really want a good movie that is a horror movie, don't take their opinion too...
at all.
No don't matter how much all. I say, yeah, this is a mean thing to say. Yeah. But mm-hmm. like... Just because they say it's great doesn't mean that you'll enjoy it if you're coming from a...
I like this more restrained, Douglas. Less, trying to be more amicable to...
From a less biased position.
Other people's opinion. Like, yes, you might not enjoy the same movies they enjoy, but that doesn't mean that your opinion is more useful than their opinion. Everything's subjective.
It's all because he's not making fun of me right now. He's trying not to make fun of other people.
This is impressive. I like this new Douglas. I hope he stays. This new Douglas is funny. Right, so don't listen to people watch horror movies because they're idiots. Only listen to Thump. We've never been wrong before.
Never before.
Never happened. I can't recall that time.
Well, no, you know what? Andrew's wrong a lot.
Yeah, but...
But then again, we as a group,
right,
we're never wrong. Because really and truly, whenever Andrew's wrong, we just don't count him.
Exactly. There's instant and immediate pushback.
The majority rules at the end.
Exactly. That's why there's three of us.
All right, so the details. The new film starring Tobey Maguire.
So what are we talking about here?
Infidelity.
I have a surprise for you. Come on in. Is Mr. Virgin Mary being unfaithful? When was the last time you and Neely had sex?
I think it's been like a year since Pete and I did it.
Home, Jeffrey, and I could just as easily wreck yours with one phone call.
There's something I need to tell you. I'm pregnant with your baby.
You know, Doc, my mother used to say it's impossible to reason with an unreasonable person.
Apparently a dark comedy, and Douglas, go.
Ray Liotta and
Ray Liotta.
What's her face?
Who's what's her face?
And she came in everything. For like 1 year ago, she was in
everything. Oh, the Russian Rashida. Carry something.
No, wrong. Zack and Mary makes a porno. Her
Elizabeth Banks.
Elizabeth.
Oh
Banks.
yes, she, I forgot about her.
Was in everything.
Yeah, she's in it too. This trailer surprised me because when it started off, I categorically thought I would hate it.
Tobey Maguire has that effect on a lot of people.
And I think I didn't quite understand where the person who cut this trailer was going until about halfway through. And then I was like, alright, maybe there's something to this trailer. And by the end of this trailer, I was like, you know what? This trailer's fucking cool.
Right, the last shot specifically.
Yeah.
Got us on board.
And I think, like, you kind of get a feeling for what the movie will be based on the trailer. It's just so many random things, and then all of us, it's kind of confused, and then all of a sudden it just, you know, it's one after another. The scenes get tighter and tighter and smaller, and then it's like, okay, this is it. And I don't know, I really liked that about this trailer. I liked how kind of disheveled or confused it was. I think it works, especially based on what at least it seems that this movie is gonna be like, you know, that kind of odd comedy where people say crazy things and then get even crazier responses. I actually surprisingly really enjoyed this trailer. Damien.
Well, I wasn't immediately put off by Tobey Maguire's face as you were. The trailer took a while, but eventually it showed me, you know, the tone that the movie was going for. It's definitely comedic, but it's not, as you said, it was a dark comedy. They're, you know, going for, you know, they're going after the messed up bits of relationships and making them, trying to draw out the funny bits out of these clearly horrible situations. And at the end, you know, the Elizabeth Banks is in the car beside Tobey Maguire, and she's like, "Oh, what?" And she's confused and angry, and Tobey Maguire says, "That was the good news." Like, yep, I'm on board now. This seems to be heading in the right direction. Now, if they can keep up that tone, with the movie. I mean, there's movies that I've tried that and I've gotten it wrong. But if they can keep this up, it should be really funny. I hope it's really funny, because there's been a dearth of really good comedies this year. Things that were supposed to be funny that we were really looking forward to. I'm not really looking for, like, Baby Makers wasn't that funny.
It wasn't?
No.
I've gotten it and I'm on the cusp of watching it. It's not that good.
Bachelorette was okay, but not that funny.
You know what looks kind of funny? And I'm hoping it is. Well, okay, it doesn't look funny, but I have to watch it because one of the Broken Lizard folks is in it, Ben and Kate. No, you know
the first episode is not good.
I saw the first half.
Okay.
I haven't watched the whole thing, but so far, like, the first 15 minutes is pretty decent, as far as I'm concerned.
Fair enough.
So in the comedy genre, pulling out of my TIFF bag for you guys to look forward to.
Boo!
Joss Whedon's Much Ado About Nothing, Key of Life, which is an amazing screwball Japanese comedy, which I love, and Sightseers, a new Ben Wheatley film.
Seven Psychopaths, that's not funny.
Oh, Seven Psychopaths. I almost didn't think about it, mainly because it's something you guys already know about.
I've seen many movies I don't even remember.
That movie is just so mainstream that you don't even think about it.
I mean,
I have to think of all about
when you spend 2 weeks watching my fancy smanchy movies, you don't really think about mainstream. It wasn't directed by some guy in his basement from, you know.
It wasn't directed by Joss Whedon. Joss Whedon doesn't get mainstream movies made.
dirty
Andrew, one doesn't count.
So Andrew, you forced us to watch this trailer. Did you like this trailer?
I liked it very much. I like the same reasons that you like it, Damien. The quirky, weird darkness that comes out, and especially at the last moment where he's like, that's the good news. It's a really funny film. I even like that moment in the trailer where you see Ray Liotta come up and he's like, I can ruin you with one phone call. I generally don't like Ray Liotta in movies, but even that one moment in the trailer, I'm like,
hey, what's Andrew, with all the Ray Liotta hate?
Wait, Andrew, do you generally not like Ray Liotta?
Oh my god. Like, can you go away?
One works.
I know it does. I was just jokingly making reference to my other
Douglas Robinson. So very, very much.
Damien punch you.
I generally hate Douglas Robinson.
I genuinely hate Douglas Robinson, but that's just me. Moving on. Anyways, right. Guys, this week I wanted us to watch the new Wes Anderson film. I did that just for you, Damien.
Yes.
The new Wes Anderson film, Moonrise Kingdom.
Dear Suzy, here's my plan.
Dear Sam, my answer is yes.
Dear Suzy, one.
Dear Sam, where?
Dear Suzy, walk 400 yards due north from your house to the dirt path which has not got any name on it. Turn right and follow to the end. I will meet you in the meadow.
Who's missing? Shukuski, you in there? Jiminy Cricket, he flew the coop.
Where the hell are you?
Right here.
Does it concern you that your daughter has just run away from home?
That's a loaded question.
Until help arrives, I'm deputizing the little guy, the skinny one, and the boy with the patch on his eye to come with me in the station wagon.
So this film is about a pair of children who decide to run away together. One who is a khaki scout, and the other who is a troubled child living with a very strict parents. And they meet on this island while he's out camping, and they go off on this journey, and all the parents and scouts have to go after them. Damien seemed like the most excited for this film when we got around to watching the trailer. So what did you think of the film?
This movie is top five, unless... unless the rest of the movies, although Seven Psychopaths, The Master. Okay. All right, this movie's
there's a lot of good stuff to come out.
I don't want to hear it from you, Andrew. You keep your mouth shut when you hear me talking about future movies. All right, you go straight to hell.
Like, Damon, I'm Brit Marling. I came from the future. You go have away. To listen to me now. Go
away. I love this movie, and I now that I know, I was saying it to Douglas earlier. Now that I fully appreciate that Wes Anderson lives in a world that I can only visit through his movies, I should go back and watch some of the movies that he made earlier that I really didn't like. Fantastic Mr. Fox was the first one that gave me like a true understanding that his world is a world of absolutely crazy people that are, you know, weird and eccentric. Like, they wear all their weirdness on their sleeve, and that is what they use to define themselves, and it is also what is used to define the world that they inhabit. So when you in Moonrise Kingdom, when you see the first shot you get is of this khaki scout group, and you see all of them, and all of them clearly belong. That is their defining feature. It's, you know, they're part of this khaki scout. It is their way of life. They don't really explain to you that this is only a temporary thing. You know, they only do this when they're not in school. Nothing exists outside of this khaki troop. And then as the movie goes on, you see, you know, the girls, and they introduce policemen and all these other things, but all of them kind of exist in this weird world. And the movie is from start to finish just fantastic. There's this guy who at the start of the movie and at several points kind of gives you a layout of, you know, the place that they're staying at, and you have him fiddling with the light on the camera, just all sorts of quirky nonsense. And it is, I mean, the movie is just great. It's just so much, it's so much fun. I kind of want to meet Wes Anderson just to see if, you know, he inhabits the world that is inside his head. I just can't imagine him having like a normal conversation with anybody. He seems like those people that their entire lives someone said, you know, you're weird, and then he just woke up one morning and went, you know what, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to make movies about my weirdness. And it is fantastic. The little boy is an orphan in this khaki scout, and the girl, she feels like an outcast from her family, and they escape together, and they're going to run away and live together. If you haven't seen the trailer, they're about 11 and 12. They're not even remotely, you know, age appropriate for doing these things. And they take off and they have to be hunted down, and the movie is just fun. You just find yourself smiling throughout the movie. The police officer played by Bruce Willis might be the worst police officer of all time. Ed Norton, I haven't seen him play a role like this, and he's pitch perfect. I mean, the casting.
He has. I would say Smoochie was probably something really similar to this, Smoochie. Really close to this.
Death to Smoochie, the movie with Robin Williams, where he's basically Barney.
Douglas just said Smoochie, and I just blanked out for a second. But I've seen. That's stupid. And he did play a similarly weird character in Leaves of Grass, so I guess.
No, there was something kind of cheesy about that character. Something just
nuts. Yeah, but he was still a weird.
Yeah, but no, it wasn't really weird. It was just more trying a bit too hard to be funny, you know?
But the casting is, I don't understand how he keeps conning these big actors into these movies. They don't make any money. That much I'm sure.
I love how he still got his number one guy to be in this movie, even though he has like the smallest role in the world. I couldn't believe that Schwartzman, like, for a long time I was like, really, Schwartzman is not in this movie? And then finally he's there.
Look, he can't, the wedding won't be legal anywhere, but you can still get married. The movie is just fun, and I hope he continues making movies like this. Can't wait for his next movie. I have no idea what that is, but I was a Wes Anderson hater, and now I've converted, and I still won't apologize for any of the earlier movies because I haven't seen them recently, so I might watch them and still hate them. I'm pretty sure what's the one with the whale? Something on the whale.
Oh, I love that movie. It'll
still be a horrendous movie.
I love it. Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou.
My brain went to Squid and the Whale, and I'm like, that's not Wes Anderson.
No, I know. Right, the
Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. Right.
Yeah.
But I should watch it again, and hopefully I'll fall in love with that movie as well. But I really did enjoy this movie. And
did you not like Rushmore, Damien?
No?
Oh, wow. Okay.
But again, I saw it a long time ago.
So about this movie, I'm going to say that I liked it even though I didn't.
to keep credit.
And here's why. Hands up those who like X-Men.
Which one?
The first one.
I like.
Okay, X-Men. Everybody,
my hands up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know Andrew's hands is up. To this day, mm-hmm. I still watch that movie and don't really like it. Why? Not because it's not a good movie. Because it is, and I really should love it. But something really bad happened that day that I went to the movies and watched it. And so I just never enjoyed it the first time. And ever since then, it's like that emotion has just...
keeps being triggered.
Yeah, you know? So I don't
know. So Douglas, what happened when you went to the theater to watch X-Men?
Let's just say that there were very many frustrations that I have been working on for a while now that kind of came to fruition today when I was watching this movie. But the thing is, right, I recognize that technically all the things about Wes Anderson film that I love are in this movie. The weirdness of all of the characters, just the way that he moves the camera, and the way that he frames a scene, and you know, the people, the stars are fantastic, and the weirdness of the story, the fact that Tilda Swinton's name is Social Services.
I forgot about that. That's her name.
Social Services. And it actually comes up in the in the credits, in the opening credits, Tilda Swinton as Social Services. The fact that there are so many details of underlying stories that are kind of shown in the background but never fully explored, like the fact that it's clear that Ed Norton and the telephone operator are getting it on because they're together so much, because you see in the background in a couple of scenes a picture of her operating the telephone. Things like callbacks to previous scenes, like for instance, Ed Norton in one of the first scenes of the movie, there is this huge, what's the word, ritual that it's clear Ed Norton does every morning with the scouts, and then there's a scene later on in the movie where he tries to do the ritual and something just isn't right and it just fails. And it's perfect. And I know all of these things. Technically, I see them. But...
the hole in the tent.
I just...
Oh, my God.
That was an immediate... I was like, are we talking about a Tim Robbins... Are we watching a Tim Robbins movie here? But...
oh, God damn.
But, yeah. As I said, I'm going to say that I liked it even though I didn't.
Douglas, you can touch my chest.
Oh my God!
Please do.
please do that after the podcast.
Oh,
I don't need to hear that.
It's fantastic.
One thing that I noticed watching this film, well, first of all, one thing before I get to that one thing, because my brain is going like okay. five so things at once. So two things. First, I don't know if I have if this has never come up, but I realize, and you guys talked about this, Damien, about Wes Anderson coming to this decision that I'm weird and I'm just going to live in my weirdness, is that in all of his films. I believe it's always surrounding a character who embraces his own weirdness, who realizes he doesn't fit in, and just works so very hard to either A, find his own way, or B, go completely away from society. And this film is him going away from society and running off with this girl and going, I'm just going to live in the wild and pitch tents because I know how to be a scout. And the second being, I think this is his most visually embraced film, especially after Fantastic Mr. Fox, because while all of his films have a certain aesthetic to them, a certain touch and feel, especially the way that the characters will move and talk to each other, this movie, it has those moments like Fantastic Mr. Fox where it's just a silhouette with a ridiculous tint to the frame, and it comes off very appealing. And I found that very interesting watching this film. The characters, this is it, unlike Rushmore, where it's really just Jason Schwartzman character who is being the weird one of the movie. In this film, all of the characters are their own version of weird. From Edward Norton being this really bad scoutmaster, to Bruce Willis being, as you say, this really bad police officer, to Bill Murray and Francis McDormand, who are lawyers who talk to each other as if they're in a courtroom the entire film, calling each other counselor. It's really strange and really lovely at the same time. I almost want to watch this movie again because I feel like I didn't quite grab everything at the first viewing. My favorite point in this film has to be when they are finally on the beach and these two children are having some of the most adult moments you can think of while still being children, somewhat. Even when everyone catches them finally on the beach, and Bill Murray's way of reacting to it, where he lifts up the tent, it's just such a wonderful moment in that movie.
I like I like the fact that he zipped down the tent. Is that,
he zipped it back up.
Is that a terrible plan? And he zipped down the tent. That guy, what? Bill Murray just throw away the tent.
and then even when
I love that the only way that Ed Norton could try to console him after that was to say in the boat, I wish that we had had time for a spot check. Mm-hmm. I would have given you at least a commendable.
Mm-hmm. He's like, you're awesome. This movie is beautiful and brilliant, and I think it gets into some emotional territory that some even Lars von Trier films can't even touch well enough. Even when you go to the church, even in the trailer when they're showing you he meets the girl and they're in these bird outfits and they're having this conversation about boys shouldn't be back here. It's kind of a weird moment in the film because we've spent all of this time with these children and we're finally going back into finding out how they actually met, how they eventually got into making this plan. And all of this stuff is kind of is in the trailer already. The movie, it never detracts from how fun it is, because there's so many movies that they'll start from the middle, which is him coming on into his camp and running away and going off on this journey. And then everyone will ask a question, but how did these two meet? And then they use a flashback to tell that to answer that question. And it almost ruins the movie for people because we're just sitting there and we're going, yes, I guess you're explaining things, but I'd much rather stay in the story that you're telling me going forward as opposed to going backward. And it doesn't bother me. Did it bother you guys at all watching this film?
Not at all.
Going forward and backward? No.
I love this movie unabashedly. And the moment where you see Harvey Keitel, I almost forgot he was in this movie because I remember in the trailer his name coming up. Harvey Keitel is in this movie. And he, like, well, we've mentioned Bruce Willis.
The beginning, though. Because he's, that's one of the, like, big details that I love. He's in, like, a newspaper, or it wouldn't be a newspaper, more like a newsletter. And you see him, and I remember thinking to myself, that's Harvey Keitel, isn't it? And then, as you say, he shows up closer to the end of the movie.
Yeah, and, I mean, we've talked about all these other people being really weird, really bad people in their career. This guy, I mean, I think he takes the cake, as opposed to all the others. I love this movie. I don't want to call it yet as to where it lands in my list, but it's high.
I just want to mention one more thing that I absolutely loved. At a certain point, he's being chased by a group of people.
Yes.
And he's struck by lightning. And they cut away to something. And then they cut back. And nobody's chasing him anymore.
Yes!
I love that. I love that they didn't...
All of a sudden his friends are there.
Right. No one gave an explanation. He
and
was
then,
just not
and then
being chased
he decides
anymore.
To start running again. And then all of a sudden they're chasing him again.
I went, that is correct, Wes Anderson. That is how you do it. Right? Let me come up with why they stopped chasing him. You just do your job. And keep it quirky. And he did. Douglas, I hope you get over whatever the hell happened to you when you watch this movie. Because this movie is great. It is everything that the trailer promised and more. It is the Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Don't you dare compare it to
fantastic.
That piece of crap, Damien.
It is
Don't you
fantastic.
Dare.
It's beautiful. Alright, so we have... come to the end of this podcast because I have to go to work or something like that. Some lie that I tell these two so that I can leave. You can find Andrew back on G-Man Reviews after his 2 to 3 weeks of whoring. He's finally back. He's back on our podcast, sadly. Me and Douglas can't gallivant around and do whatever the hell we want. You can find
no more tech
Twitter.
Podcasts.
You can find him on, what's the name of that website?
Podcast Alley.
Podcast Alley. Mm-hmm. You can find him on G Plus, Facebook Plus, High Five. If there's a social network that he's not on, just give him a call and he'll be on it the next day.
Yeah.
You can find Douglas similarly by doing a search for his name, DJR lost his name. No one knows what that means. Douglas doesn't know what it means. So, you can find his writings at absolutely nowhere because he's the worst at running up our website in history. And you can find me by searching for my name, sadly. Despite all my efforts, people still locate me on the internet. This has been the Unnamed Movie Podcast. Not episode 2 of the Unnamed Tech Podcast. Thanks again for that, Douglas. So thanks for listening, and Andrew, go and fondle yourself. Good night.
You still have them too. crush them.